Today's Masechta Baba Bekama Daf Ayin. We will begin on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph Bezer Hashem Yisbarach, the top line Amrin Hadoi. A Gemara begins by speaking about a Shtar Hashah. The Shtar Hashah is what we would know, what we would call as a power of attorney, which gives the person who I appoint to represent me in any proceeding. As we're going to see, there are two ways that a Shtar Hashah could be written. A Shtar Hashah could be written in the form of a kinyan, that I am formally giving over to the person who I appoint a part, all or part of the assets that are being discussed, that are being litigated. Or Shtar Hashah is that I give him the right to represent me in a court. The Gemara, as we're going to see, says that if I don't give my appointed representative this Hashah, then the other side in the delegation could claim Lav Devarim Diat. I don't know who you are. You have no legal standing in this proceeding, and therefore you have no place to represent anything in this proceeding. Who are you? Of course, the Mefarshim, already the Rishonim asked the question that one of the most common principles we encounter as we learn in Shas is Shliach Shaladim Kamaisai, that a person may appoint a Shliach. And therefore, of course, the question is, why over here can I not appoint a Shliach to represent me? Why, as we're going to be learning in our Shia today, is a Hashah necessary? So there are many answers given. The Riven explains that without this representative of mine coming with a Shtar Hashah, the other litigant could say that perhaps the principal died and therefore the agent is no longer authorized to represent him. Only by giving him the Shtar Hashah, his right remains under all circumstances. Another explanation given by the Rosh is that the other side could always claim that yes, you were appointed with a Hashah, but perhaps that appointment was rescinded. Only in a case where he has a Hashah that gives him a permanent right to make a claim, can such a claim cannot be ignored. The Pnei Yeshua gives a different explanation. There's always a concern that somebody says something in court, so there's always a concept that we learn in Shas, Ein Adam Meiz Bifnei Bal Choiva. A person doesn't have sometimes the temerity to say something which is totally untrue. And therefore, if I send a representative to court, the other side could say, well, he shouldn't be allowed to make claims in court because these rules that people don't have the chutzpah, don't have the temerity to say things, doesn't apply to a person who really isn't personally involved with this case. Therefore, the only way somebody can represent me is if he's an extension of me. How does he become that he's alone a party to this case? How does he become a party to this case? By having a Shah. And therefore, says the Sma, there could be a distinction between a plaintiff and a defendant in this regard. A defendant has to be able to personally answer the plaintiff's claims in Beis Din, and therefore he can't send a representative to deny the claims on his behalf. In other words, the defendant only could claim that what's being said is not true if he says what's being claimed against him is not true if only he claims himself. But on the other hand, the plaintiff, the Toveya, doesn't have that concern. And therefore, the Sma wants to say that when our Gemara speaks about our Shah, it could be that our Shah is limited to the defendant, to the Nitva, and not to the Toveya. So begins the Gemara, Amar Nadoi. Nadoi teaches us like Kasvina Adrachta Metatlin. We don't write Hashtar Hashah on Metatlin. That means if I left Metatlin with someone else and I send a Shliach to get them on my behalf, I can't write a Hashah And therefore, if the person who I had left these objects with gave it to my shliach, I could go back and make a claim, I never got back what you were watching. Because the person, the shliach's representation is a weak representation. And since his representation is weak, it's not considered as if I got it. And it's not mine, and you, the shomer, haven't returned it until you make sure that I actually get it. That's how Rashi explains the sugya. Tosfos says that we're not speaking about a pikadon here. Tosfos says we're speaking about a gzela. And the halacha is that the person who something was stolen from, and now he appoints somebody to pick it up from the gazlan giving it to that person has not fulfilled his obligation of a heshivas gzela unless he gives it to me. Amr of Ashila Meima Maitama asks, why is this the halacha? Amalei Shem Rabbi Yochanan, based on what Rabbi Yochanan told us. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Gozel, we learned in our previous year, Rabbi Yochanan told us. Gozel, we learned in Shashua Balin, if there was a Gzela and the Balin weren't yet Miyash, Shneim Enim Yechoyel Mahagdish. Neither the Gazlin nor the person from whom it was stolen from can be Magdish that object. The Gazlin can't be Magdish it because it's not his. Vazeh, and the person from whom it was stolen, and something which is not under my control, I can't write, I can't be magdish. So the Gemara is saying, the same thing goes in our Gemara. I cannot write a harsha for something that's not under my control. And therefore, whether we follow Rashi's pshat, that we're talking about a bikodin, or whether we follow the pshat of the Tosfos that we're talking about a gzela, it wouldn't make a difference. In both of these cases, it's not under my control. And since it's not under my control, the halacha is I can't write a harsha for this object. Because, explains Rashi, since Rabbi Yochanan just taught us that I can't be magdashit, so we see that my level of control over something which I don't have control over is extremely limited. And therefore, since it's extremely limited, that's why I can't write a harsha on it. Ikadamri, but there's a different version. Amar nadoi, lakasinan am orkasa ataltim the kafri. We don't write a shtar harsha that regarding something that somebody else is holding. And I claim to Besdin that this person is holding my object, and the other person saying it's incorrect, I'm not holding your object. For such a situation, says the Ikad Amri, we don't write an adrachta. Why? Mishum the kafre. Since the person claims it's just not true, the Mexica shikra. Then by writing an adrachta, he is saying something. He's writing something over something that it doesn't exist. He's saying that it doesn't exist, and therefore it doesn't make sense that a drachta could be written. Avloi kafri, if the person who's holding my object did not deny that he's holding it, kasfinan, then the halacha would be a drachta could be written. Says the Gemara. Now further, in situations when a drachta may be written, v'am nadoi, to this says a droi, uchsot like sibe, a shtar hashah, in which it is not stated, Zil don v'zochiv apikl nafshe, go represent me in this tentaira, and take whatever you win for yourself. Lest by mashasha is not going to be a valid adrachta. It's not going to be a valid power of attorney. My tama, why? Because as we said at the beginning of the shiur, if the person representing me cannot represent that he is a party to this litigation, then the other person could say to me, to this person who's representing me, La Baldvarm de Diat, who are you here? You're not somebody that has any rights to be here. Amrabaya, Baik Sibe, So now what we're learning is that in order for the drachta to have halachic meaning, in order for the drachta to have halachic meaning, the party that I appoint, the party I give the adrachta, the party, power of attorney, has to have personal interest here. What does it mean? He has to be owner. He has to be an owner himself. He has to be a party to the stern Torah himself. And therefore, says Abaya, if in the Shtar HaShoah it says that you are the person who I appointed, my representative, Alamechsel, Shlish, or Revia, you have 25%, 50%, so now that you're a personal representative here, you have a personal interest here, so then, even though you don't own the entire part of this, still, you have a right to be part of this entire. And therefore, explain all the Rishonim, even if the person who appointed this person with the shtar, adrachta, is no longer alive, this is not a shlichus. A shlichus expires when the mishaleach expires. But in a case where the mishaleach doesn't expire, because the shliach is not just a shliach, he has a adrachta, and therefore, since he has the adrachta, he has the ability to represent and be part of this entire under all circumstances. Amar Maimer, continues the Gemara, E tofus, if the shliach seized money from the person who's holding the money, loy mafkinim enei, we don't take it away from him. Vasha makim de kasvalei, since he writes in the shtar of Hashor, called misana medina kabil salai, whatever will happen in this dentira, I have to accept. Shliach shavye, he made him a shliach, and therefore the owner could take it away from him. Vikadam shutve shavye, he made him a shutuf. Now the question here is, what is the role of this shliach, of this person holding the power of attorney? Says the Marla Mai Nafkim. You know, what's the machloikish? Says Marla Mitfas Pelga. If I wrote the Shtar Drachta that he has 50%, so could he keep the 50% or can he not? Vilchasab says the Gemara Shav Yishliach, and therefore he's a Shliach. If he sees the money and he sees it on my behalf, he has to give it to me. He can't say, well, I'm entitled to keep it. So our Gemara has spoken about a very important subject, and that is, how could somebody be appointed to be a representative? And the question that the Pesukim discuss is, let's say there's a business or there's any situation that has many partners or many representatives. There's a house, a condominium, a co-op that has many participants in that ownership. And what would be the halacha as far as appointing somebody to vote for you in that, if there was a meeting and I appoint somebody to give him the right to vote for me, can he vote for me without a power of attorney? Is it enough that I should just appoint him to be my shliach and that will give him a right to vote for me? Or perhaps, as it seems from our Gemara, it will only be allowed to be done if he has a power of attorney. And really, the question is, how do we understand the reason of, how do we understand this concept of Arshah and the concept of Shlichus? The Levush Matcha seems to take the approach that Mila Lemimsum Shliach, in order for the appointment of the Shlichus to be considered a valid appointment, there has to be some strength around that appointment. And by writing the Arshah, by giving the power of attorney, that's what gives that appointment some strength. If that's the case, any time I appoint a shliach, his shlichas will only be valuable, it will only be worthwhile if I gave him a power of attorney. But if we follow the other approaches that we said in our shir, that the other side in the dentira could say, La Baldvarm de Diat, who I don't know who you are, or as we said, Maybe there's a concern that the Meshaleich is no longer alive, or maybe there's a these various other concerns that we discussed at the beginning of our shiur. So those concerns that we mentioned are only applicable in a din Torah. But let's say there's just a committee that's voting, or a membership that's voting, and I give over my vote to that person, then the question is, I could give it to him without necessarily making a power of attorney. On the there's another shaila that the Chishuk Echemet discusses. What happens if a father and a son are both members in a shul together, for example, and there's going to be some sort of a vote taking place in that shul, and the son and the father don't necessarily agree? What will be the halacha? Can the son vote differently than the father? Is it a violation of Kibbutz of Aim when the son votes differently against what the father wants? So the Chishuk Echemet takes a very interesting approach on how to answer that halachic question. He says that even though, of course, we know there's a mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim, and we know, of course, how important the mitzvah of Kibbutz of Aim is, but the halacha is that when we speak about Kibbutz of Aim, the halacha is Mishal Av, that the funds, the resources that are spent for Kibbutz of Aim are from the father's assets. For Loi Mishal Ben, the son doesn't have to use his own assets for Kibbutz of Aim. So if there's a vote and the son feels one way and the father feels another way, so that the son needing to vote like the father would be Mishal Ben, that he has to give up from his own assets to fulfill the mitzvah. And since, as we just said, the halacha is Mishal Av, Miloy Mishal Ben, the son doesn't have to use his own assets to fulfill the mitzvah kibbutz of Aim. Therefore, the halacha is that the son can vote against the son can vote against the father. Says the Mishnah, Ganav al Pishnayim, if two Edim say testimony that somebody stole somebody else's animal, the Shor said that we keep on speaking in our shiurim about. V'tavach u'mocha al pihem, and those say, same Edim say that this Ganav slaughtered or sold that animal. Oy al pi Edim acher, oy pi shnayim acherim, or two other witnesses. Two witnesses testify to the Geneva, and two witnesses testify to the Tficha Mechira. The halacha is that this Ganav Mishal Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha will have to pay the Arba V'Chamisha. Says the Mishnah, there's a halacha that we've mentioned many times, the halacha Kimlei B'Derabbanei, that if somebody does an Avera which comes with two punishments, we only give the more serious punishment. And therefore, Ganav V'Tavach, Ganav V'Mocha B'Shabbos, so in that case, there's no chiv misa for selling something on Shabbos, or ganav v'machal avodah zarah, selling something for avodah zarah, or ganav v'machal v'tavach b'yom kippurim. On Yom Kippur, for being mechal Yom Kippur, there is no chiv misa, there's only karis. So even if he actually not just sold the animal on Yom Kippur, but he even slaughtered the animal on Yom Kippur, or ganav misha, so in all these cases, as we're going to see, there's no kimle b'drabnei, and he has to pay the dal v'hei. Gana mishal aviv, if somebody stole an animal, a shor or seh, from his father, the tavach u'machar, and he sold it or slaughtered it, and now he owes his father the dal v'hei, v'achach meis aviv, and then his father passed away. So now he has a portion in that dal v'hei, because he's one of the yorshim of his father. So the other brothers are taking over the father's place. He's also taking over the father's place. But since the other brothers, he owed the dal v'hei to his father, they're the father's yorshim, and therefore he has to pay the dal v'hei. Tavach, the ganav v'tavach, if somebody stole and then shechted, v'akach chigdish, and then he was magdish behema, in this case as well, mishalem arba v'chamisha. The Rishash, however, points out that in the case that we just spoke about, somebody who yarshined his father, that the halacha is that he has to pay the dal v'hei to his brothers, that's only in a case if he's not the only Yairish. But let's say this son were the only Yairish of the father, then he wouldn't, of course, have to pay dal v'hei. The Mishnah spoke about ganach v'tavach v'akach hegdish. So the Kivegur says that the hegdish that we're speaking about in our Mishnah is talking about there was magdish the behemoth for bedik abayis, because that's when this halacha would apply. But if it was magdishit a kedushas a guf for a carbon, it might be a different halacha, as we will discuss. Ganav a tavach lefuul a klaim, if he slaughtered the animal not because he wanted to eat the meat, because he needed it for a medicine, or he wanted to serve it to his animal, or hashaychit the nimtzas treifa, he shechted the animal, but the animal is not kosher. Goyne v'shoichet chulim b'azara, he shechted the animal, and he did chulim b'azara, and that animal may not be eaten. Mishalm tashlumi abo v'chamisha. And Rav Shimon says, Mishnah Poyita b'shnei elu, in the case of shoichet v'nimtzas treifa, or the case of shechita chulim b'azara, Rav Shimon's opinion is that you won't be chayiv dalad v'hei. Because Rav Shimon's opinion is that any shechita that doesn't make the animal available to be eaten, then that's not considered a shechita, and therefore you would be chayiv dal v'hei. So if the animal turns out to be a treifa, you're not allowed to eat the animal. If the animal was slaughtered as chulin bazara, such an animal may not be eaten, and therefore Rav Shimon say you don't pay dal v'hei. But if you shech the animal, even though it was not your intention to eat the animal, it was your intention to have that animal as a refuah, or to serve it to dogs, even though I didn't intend to eat it, the halacha is that I may eat it. And that's considered a proper shechita. Once it's considered a proper shechita, I'm chayiv dal v'hei. Suggests the Gemara that the Mishnah began that you did the shechita with two edim, and two other edim said that there was the tficha mechira, and therefore you chayiv dal v'hei. Suggest the Gemara, melem masnis and loy Rabbi Akiva. It seems that our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva, if we're going to say the opinion is Rabbi Akiva, Homer, the Torah says apishnei ode edim yokum dover. And from here we say dover v'loy chatzi dover. The edis has to be a complete edis, and if we only have edim speaking about the tvicha, but these edim are not speaking about the gneva, so it's a chatzi dover. And therefore, since it's a chatzi dover, you, in such a case, he won't be chayiv dal v'hei. I saw a very nice word. Many people, when a boy and a girl get engaged, the engagement is called, when they make an engagement part, it's called a vort. It's a Jewish, it's the Yiddish word for dover. Why do we call it a vart? Because we're saying, we just learned that when the Torah uses the words dover, v'loy chatzi dover. We know that a couple, a husband and wife, a chasan and kala, until they're engaged, each one is considered a chatzi guf, palga gufa. They're considered incomplete. They only become complete when they come together. So when we have a couple, Baruch Hashem, getting engaged, so it's a vart, because they are no longer in a case, they are no longer in the category of a dover, of a chatzi dover, now they've become a dover. The Tanya, says the Gemara, we now learn where Rabbi Akiva taught us this halacha. The Tanya, the Braisa, teaches us, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Sholach Abba Chalifta Eitz Rabbi Yochim Benuri Luma Taira. Abba Chalifta went to Rabbi Yochim Ben Nuri to learn Torah. V'amalai Rabbi Yochim Ben Nuri went to Abba Chalifta. The first Lashon says that Abba Chalifta spoke to Rabbi Yochim Ben Nuri, and according to the second version, Rabbi Yochim Ben Nuri said this to Abba Chalifta. They said, Harei Sha'ok L'Shonarish. We know that to establish a chazakah, we need to have 3 years. So what's the halacha if somebody bought something from somebody else? And as we said, the Gemara in Baba Basra teaches us Parcheskes Abatim very, very extensively, that if I say I bought a property from you, So I have to be able to prove, I have to show a deed that I bought a property from you. They bought this property from you. But it was complicated and they didn't have the place to hold on to the deeds. So the halacha is, if I say I bought from you a property and now it's after, and I was on the property for 3 years and I'm claiming I bought it from you, the fact that I cannot produce a deed, I still win the din Torah because I have the claim that I make plus the chazaka. So what will be the halacha? The first of these 3 years, there are two Edom that saw me on this property, because obviously to establish a chazaka, you have to have Edom to back up your claim. So the first 2 year of this 3 year chazaka, I say I have two Edom to testify for me. Shnia, the second year, I have two other Edom. Shlishis, and the third year will be Fnei Shnayim before a third pair of Edom. Mahu, what will be the halacha in such a case? Amalei, charizu chazaka. So this is chazaka. Amalei, so he said to him, Afani oy mekein. I also agree that this is the way to establish a chazaka. El shebekiva chaylik bedava. Rebekiva disagrees. Shebekiva aymer. Rebekiva's opinion is davar v'loy chatzi davar. And you can only establish a chazaka with two edim for all three that are testifying for all 3 years. If I can't find two edim to testify for all 3 years, it's not going to be a properly established chazaka. Amar Abaya. So we see Rabbi Kiva holds the concept of davar lechatzi davar. Amar Abaya, a field time Rabbi Kiva. We could still suggest that, and therefore in our mission also, the Gemara is saying you have to have the same edim on the Geneva and on the Tvicha Mechira. Amal Abaya says the Abaya, a field time Rabbi Kiva. We can't suggest that our mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Milay the Rabbi Kiva. Would Rabbi Kiva not agree? B'shnayim Amar Kiddush, if two Edom came and said that this couple, that this woman got married in Nissan. And now Shnayim Omrim Shabal, that two other Edom come and say that this woman had an adulterous relationship after Nissan and Iyar. The Afal Gav, the Edebiyah, the testimony that the Edom who are saying that she had this adulterous relationship is only meaningful Tzricha Lady Kedushin. Can't be meaningful without Eidei Kedushin. Because if she's not an Eishes Ish, there is no problem. But, says the Gemara, Kim the Eidei Kedushin le Tzrich Eidei Biyah. So the Eidei Biyah to have any meaning, to be meaningful, first have to have Eidei Kedushin that establish her as an Eishes Ish. But the Eidei Kedushin that establish her as an Eishes Ish, le Tzrich Eidei Biyah. They have validity on their own. And that's enough for Rabbi Kiva to consider this Dava Karina Bay. Hachinami, Afgav the Eidei Tvicha Tzrich Eidei Geneva. The Eidei Tvicha don't have any really, aren't really meaningful unless you have the Eidei Geneva behind that, behind them. Kiven the Eidei Geneva le Tzrich Eidei Tvicha, but the Eidei Geneva need the Eidei Tvicha to give them meaningful. Dava Karina Bay. So the Eidei Geneva don't need the Eidei Tvicha. That's why it's considered Dover, even according to Rabbi Kiva. The Tosfos points out, so here we're saying, does that mean when the Gemara says that the Eidei Biya, Tzrich Eidei Kedushin, that means that we won't accept testimony from Edom that say a woman had an adulterous relationship unless she could first produce, the Eidei Kedushin? Says Tosfos, of course not. Once a woman is established as a Eishes Ish, as the Chasam Sofer explains what Tosfos says, that there was a couple that had been living together as husband and wife, even if we can't find Edom to say that we saw this couple get married, the fact that everybody knows that this couple is a married couple, that's enough that we should accept this woman as an Eishes Ish, and therefore when Edom come in to say that she had an adulterous relationship, we saw her having an adulterous relationship, she would be Chayiv Skila. Others say it has to be with a Chazaka. The Gemara is saying a Chazaka, she has to have a Chazaka that they were together, this couple, for 3 years, then we wouldn't have to have Eidei Kedushin. So many Mefarshim ask, why does the Gemara have to bring in the concept of the Eidei Kedushin and the Eidei Biyah? Why can the Gemara right away have differentiated between the case of what we learned of the Chazakah, where Rekiva says if you don't have the same pair of Eidim for all 3 years, it's not a valid testimony, versus the case of our Mishnah, where the Eidei Genev and Eidei Tficha are not dependent on each other, as the Gemara said. So the Sefer Kikoyin de Yoin says that Rekiva begins the Gemara by saying Dover v'loichatzi Dover. By teaching us Dover v'loichatzi Dover, we learn that you need to have a full-fledged Eidus. And maybe the halacha indeed is that under all circumstances you need it. Therefore, the Gemara had to show that that is inconceivable, because the halacha of Eidei Kedushin and Eidei Biyah, it's inconceivable, the Gemara is saying, that Rabbi Kiva would hold that under those circumstances, the woman would not get skila as an Eishes Ish that was Mezana. And therefore, the Gemara had to use that to develop its case. Says the Gemara, Rabbanon. Rabbanon who hold, disagree with Rabbi Kiva. And the opinion of the Rabbanon is, if you have three pairs of Eidim, saying and each year there was this man was on the field, all three of these pairs can combine. Ask the Gemara, Rabbana, hai dava lo chatzi dava lemute mai, what did I use that limit for? Lemute, echer oimer echer begaba, echer oimer bekreisa. We know that a girl, to be considered a gdaila, of course has to be 12 years old, but she has to also bring simonim. So let's say that she's a gdaila. The simonim that we always speak about in Shas is that you have to have two saris. And the question is, so what would be the case where one aid says we saw one hair in the front of her body and one hair in the back of the body? The high, so that's what Rabbanan used this pasuk to teach. Ask the Gemara, we don't need a pasuk to teach that that's not acceptable. Hai chatzi dover v'chatzi eidesu. It's not just that each one is only saying one here, but each one is only one aid. And of course, one aid alone is not going to help. Says the Gemara, Lamuti is coming to teach us. Shnaim oimrim, two aidim say echa begaba. There were two, one here in the back. And shnaim oimrim, and two aidim say echa bekrei. So there was two aidim in the front, one here in the front. So each pair of aidis are speaking about only one here. When a woman only has one here, a woman that only has one here is still a ketana. So what's happening here, really, says the Gemara, is hani amri ketanihi. These are saying that she's still a ketana because she only has one here. The hani amri ketanihi, and that's why in this case the halacha is that even the rabbanim will agree that they can't combine. So of course, what we need to analyze and understand, why is this case different than the case of Adam, different Adam speaking about different years? Each pair of Adam that's speaking about different years is not saying that there's a chazakah. Because in order to accomplish a chazakah, you have to have 2 years, 3 years. So the Rif answers that the Adam that speak about different years, there's nothing preventing us from combining them. And since there's nothing preventing us from combining them, even though each pair is speaking about a different year, it doesn't mean that they can't combine. But because the years add up, when you have 3 years, they can add up to make a chazakah. But the hair in the back and the hair in the front, each one is speaking about something that's totally separate and different. Since each one is totally talking about something which is totally different and separate, therefore, they can't combine. Rashi, it seems that Rashi, according to the way the Ramban explains Rashi, it says when two Eidim come in and say that they saw one hair on the back, what they're really not just saying is that they saw one hair on the back. If we drill down further into what they say, they're really saying that this girl is a ketana, because a girl with only one hair is a ketana. And therefore, since a girl with only one hair is a ketana, so yes, each pair is saying that she's a ketana. So we can't use these eidim to say, well, we'll combine them and now she's a gedola. The actual testimony that they are saying actually represents that they're saying is a ketana. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos' approach is when two eidim come and say that we saw that this person was on this property year one, and this another pair comes in year two, and another pair comes on year three. If we think about what's happening here, says Tosfos, everybody is saying as much as they can say. You can't speak about the second year before the second year came. You can't speak about the third year before the third year came. And therefore, there is no problem with each one saying what they're saying. However, in a case, says Tosfos, where the two Edom are coming and speaking about the back, and two other Edom speaking about the front, Edom who speak about the back, there's nothing preventing them from speaking about the front. And the Edom who speak about the front, there's nothing preventing them from speaking about the back. Since there's nothing preventing these Edom from being able to combine, because they should combine, when did the Rabbanan say there's no requirement for combination? The Rabbanan say that there's no requirement for combination in a case where combination is not possible. Every year is a separate year. But hair in the front and hair in the back certainly is something that can be combined. And since it's something that can be combined, the halacha is that they have to combine. And if they don't combine, even the Rabbanan will agree that it's not a valid eidus. The Torah Kedosha says, midvat sheket terchak. What does the Torah say, midvat sheket terchak? To teach us that even if you say something which is partially untrue, it's enough to be considered a dvar sheker. I saw that the Sefer Tapuchei Chaim gives a very nice example. He says, somebody walks in and says, I saw this person eat on Tisha B'Av. I swear I saw this person eat on Tisha B'Av. What he said may be true, but it could be that year, the day Tisha B'Av was on Shabbos. So what the Torah is teaching us is, midvash sheket terchak. The person has to say a complete statement. And if by not saying a complete statement, what you're saying will be a lie, that's what the Torah is teaching us. Just like we're learning in our Gemara, dover v'loy chatzi dover. Make sure that you complete your statement. Because if you don't complete your statement, it may be a lie. We learned in the Mishnah, God of a Machav Shabbos, or somebody stole and sold on Shabbos, the halacha is that you pay dal v'hei. And it was, as we explained in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, because there's no chiyuv misa, and since there's no chiyuv misa, there's no kimlei v'derabanei. But ask the Gemara, v'tanya, isn't there a brice that says that you potter? Amar b'chama, ki tanya the potter. What is the case? Ba'oimaloi, when the person who bought the animal from the Ganif said, "Ekets teinam etenasi, collect some dates from my tree." And like that, that's how we're going to affect this kinyan. So the seller, who's the Ganif, collected those dates, and he collected those dates, taking them off the tree on Shabbos involves chil Shabbos, and that's why we could say kimle b'deramnei. Says the Gemara, Amri, v'chivin da t'kavale kama medina. If the person who bought this animal will claim that I want back this, I don't want the deal to go on, lo amrin le'zil shlem, we wouldn't make the ganav pay, the chayiv nafshahu, because he's chayiv for having done chil Shabbos. So the halacha is that since he doesn't have to give the animal, because the animal is a stolen animal, so the whole sale is not a sale. So if there was no sale, why would he be chai for chil Shabbos? What he did didn't really count. The buyer told the ganif, throw this animal into my property, which is an act of carrying on Shabbos, the tikna v'esbenasi, and like that, I'll take ownership of this animal. And the ganif threw the animal into the chatzar, and that's how it became the buyer's animal. And he's chayif, and the ganif is chayif for carrying. And in that case, the ganif is chayif for carrying on Shabbos. There's a fundamental question that the Achronim ask him. There's a very famous rule in Shas, anything that the Torah said you shouldn't do, if you did it, it doesn't help. So here, why is the Mechira on Shabbos considered a valid Mechira? You're not supposed to do a Mechira on Shabbos. So the Mechira should not be considered a valid Mechira. If the Mechira is not a valid Mechira, he wouldn't be Chayiv, Dal Vehei. So the Shach says that the only time we apply the concept of Kamil Sadam Rahman Alay Savadi Avalay Mahani is only in a case where what is being done can only be done involving an Isser. But if it could be done without involving an Isser, there we don't say this rule. There are ways of transferring ownership on Shabbos without doing an Isser. Another teretz that the Marit gives is that when do we say Kamil Sadam Rahman Alay Savadi Avalay Mahani, that's where by invalidating what you did, we saved somebody from doing an Isser. But let's analyze our Gemara, says the Marit. We just learned that the Gemara is speaking about a case where he said, throw it into my chatzar. The moment he throws it into the chatzar, he already did the Chil Shabbos. By telling him, by saying, well, we're invalidating the sale, that doesn't help the Chil Shabbos from not happening. And therefore, we're saying, we don't say, Imelsa, the Taz gives a different teretz. He says, when we speak about something being usur, it could be usur because the actual act is usur, or it could be usur because an external reason. Here, there's no isur in selling. This is on Shabbos, you're not allowed to sell. So that's an external issue. And since it's an external issue, we don't say, Rikivega says that where we say the rule of Kamal Sadam Rahman Alay Savri Avalay Mahani, he says it's only said in a place where the Torah specifies the Isser. Yes, the Torah speaks, of course, about us not being allowed to be Michal Shabbos. But even though the Torah speaks about us not being Michal Shabbos, there is no explicit pasuk in the Torah that you're not allowed to do a sale on Shabbos. Of course, you're not allowed to do a sale on Shabbos. But since it's not mentioned explicitly in the Torah that you're not allowed to do a sale, so there we don't apply the concept called Mil Amar Rahman Alay Savid Lay Mahani. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Tzadik Vav Amar Aleph, discusses when somebody throws something from Shusayachat to Shusarabim over to Shusarabim. From Shusayachat to Shusayachat over to Shusarabim. Will you be Chayiv? Rekiva holds you chayiv, because Rekiva says there's a concept of kluta mishoncha. Once it's in the airspace, it's as if it's landed. The Rabbanan disagree. So the Gemara said, the Rapapa just said, that when somebody throws the stolen animal into somebody else's chayiv, somebody else's chatzar, he's chayiv misa, he's a mechal Shabbos, and that's why we're going to say kimlei with Rabbanei. Says the Gemara, it seems that it's following the opinion of Rakiva, Gamakluta, Kamisha, and Chadamya. As soon as it comes into that Rishus, it's as if it's as if it landed. And therefore, as soon as this animal came into the Rishus of the buyer, A, he was Michal Shabbos, and B, completed the transaction. D, Rabbanon, if we're going to follow the opinion of Rabbanon, as soon as it came into the airspace of the buyer's property, Kana, it becomes his. However, according to Rabbanan, Linyan Shabbos Lamichayev, for Shabbos you won't be Chayev Adamachil Ara. And an important rule in saying Kimle with Rabbanei is that we only say Kimle with Rabbanei when both Averis come at the same time. Here they're not coming at the same time. The Kinyan happened before the Chil Shabbos. Says the Gemara, there's a way it could work even according to Rabbanan. in a case where the buyer told the ganav, it won't become mine until it actually comes to rest. So since it won't become mine until it actually comes to rest, so therefore both averus come at the same time. Rav Abba Olam Kurami Bachama. The case of our Mishnah goes back to what we said a moment ago, where the buyer told the seller, and the question that the Gemara asked, that this is not a valid mechira, because Bezdin will not enforce this mechira, because it's a mechira of something that's stolen. Says the Gemara, the Torah speaks about Estan Zoyna. Estan means something that was given to a Zoyna as a payment, may not be brought as a carbon. Estan Amatayra, Afil Baal Ima. Even if somebody had relations with his mother and gave her an Estan, the Loch is its Asr. Now let's think about it. Itavale Kamam Bedina. If the mother would go and claim to Bezdin, my son owes me this animal for payment, Miyamina Kum Havle Estan, would Bezdin enforce such a ruling? But what do we see? Ella Afgavdoi Kavale Bedina, Loyamina Zil Havle, even though Bezda would never enforce such a transaction. Still, kiven the kiyavalei have asked them once it's given, even though it's not something that Bezda will encourage or protect, it becomes an esnan. Hachinami afgav d'liyim tashlumin. When we speak about the shlumin, itava bedina kamon loyim rina zil shlim. Bezda would not enforce this. Afil hachi kiven the kamakna lebachi. If this is the way this transaction took place, have a mechira. It's considered a valid mechira. And since this mechira was affected through Chilul Shabbos, that's why we're going to say, Kimlei B'Dravim Nei.